Chapter 18, verse 10 and 11, there in the garden. think about Jesus reached down and picked that bloody ear up. Can you imagine the little speech? He said, Peter, put your sword up. Those that live by the sword are going to die by the sword. And the Bible says he put that ear back on. And I'm pretty sure it didn't leave a scar. I think he healed him completely. But don't you know that that high priest servant came back and told that high priest what had happened? From then on, every time he looked at that high priest, he had to see that ear, didn't he? And you think about if that didn't haunt him. Thinking about if he had the power, if he really did that, if he trusted the servant that the story that he told him about restoring that ear was true, that had to present some difficulty in his life for him, didn't it? And you think about what he lived with from that point on. But Peter wasn't going to allow it. He was going to stay with Jesus. He wasn't going to let Jesus out of his sight. He took it as a personal thing that he was going to protect Jesus with his own life. And his motives were admirable. And in verse 37 of John 13, whenever he asked the Lord, he said, why can't I follow you now? Jesus just got to say that he was going to die. He said, why can't I follow you now? I think what Peter was saying was, Lord, if you're going to die, if that's what you're going to do, I'll die with you. Why can't I follow you now? I want to be where you are. His motives were admirable, and he certainly meant it, and he followed through with it. And then, in verse 38, the Lord told him, he said, Peter, will you really lay your life down for me? Do you know before dawn in the morning, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll disown me three times. Don't you know that was a blow to Peter? He meant what he said with every fiber of his being. He was absolutely willing to die for Jesus. And then it strikes me, Peter got quiet. The Bible doesn't say that. Whatever transpired from that point on in that upper room until they got in the garden, we don't have a record of Peter saying anything. I think it really hurt his feelings when Jesus said that to him. I don't think he believed it at all that he was going to deny. But he's turning all this over in his mind. And when you get to Matthew chapter 26, it's the next thing that we have recorded, verse 31. Next thing we have recorded that Peter said, Jesus told them this very night, you'll all fall away on account of me, for it is written in the mountains, by the way, they're in the garden. It is written, I will strike the shepherd, the sheep of the flock will be scattered, but after they've risen, I will go ahead of you to Galilee. And Peter interrupted him, and he said, even if everybody falls away on account of you, I never will. He didn't believe it. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, this very night before the rooster crows, he'll disown me three times. That's the second time he's told him that. He told him once while they were in the upper room. Now he's telling him again. But Peter declared, it's not true. You're wrong. Now, that's not the word. What he said was, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same thing. Were they loyal? Had every good intention in the world. They meant it with all of their heart. But once, in chapter 26, verse 56, once the arrest took place, it was said that all the disciples fled and deserted. You know, once you take a step back and follow, it's really easy. Once you take one step back from following as close to Jesus as you possibly can, once that distance occurs between you and Jesus, then there are lots of psychological things that happen to us. If we just follow and stay just as close as we possibly can to Jesus, and we make a conscious effort to do that, and we don't allow any space to come between us and Jesus, then we won't disown him. But whenever we take be able to overcome temptation, the most powerful thing you can do is when that temptation, when you feel that temptation entering your body, whether it's a temptation to get angry, whether it's a temptation to participate in something that you shouldn't, whatever that situation is, the most effective thing you can do is start praying. You know, I have to tell you a little quick personal illustration. I have an older friend that I served under in another place. And he and I had a really special relationship. In fact, I guess maybe we were a lot alike, particularly back in my earlier years, because one time he did something, there was a situation that he handled in a way that really made me angry. And I went to him and told him how I felt right quick, and he turned around to walk off with the reason for my arm, and he said, "Let's go talk about it." And so he dragged me back into the room and locked the door, and he started talking about it. The more he talked about it, the madder I got. And finally, I've overcome some of this now, okay, I'm proud to say, but I finally got so angry that I got up. Started to leave the room, and he stood in front of me, and really, he blocked my way, and I tried to get around him, and he blocked my way again, and I said, "I'm not happy that I said this, but I said, oh man, if you don't get out of the way, I'm going to knock you out of my way." And when I said that, he reached and grabbed both of my hands, and bowed his head, and started praying. And I found out something. Thirdly, he acted too quickly. Whenever the situation came, he'd already made his mind up what he was going to do. He jerked his sword out and he cut the guy's ear off. I don't know if he was swinging for the center of his head. He missed. I don't know exactly if he was that good that he got the ear, but I think he meant to take the guy out. In verse 51 of Luke 22, Jesus rebuked him. And he said, "In David's reactions. When he said, "I'm going to build a house for God," Nathan, a come back. He has that confidence in you. That when you come back, then you get busy about the business of encouraging your brothers. Peter returned, and he lived for the brethren, for God's sheep, to encourage them. You know how to return to the Lord if there's some space between you and him? Well, you have to admit your failure. You have to admit that there is space between you and the Lord. And not deny it and not ignore it. And that means that you repent. And you boast only in the Lord. You quit bragging about what you're going to do or what you're not going to do. You pray without ceasing. You act more resolutely in your life. And you follow as close to Jesus Christ as you possibly can. And if there's any space between you and him, then you take that space up. It's not him that moved. It's you that moved. And he's waiting for you to come back home while we stand and sing.